Lord Jesus, as we turn now to your word, we pray that you would help us to focus on you, help us to listen, help us to understand what has been said. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that what I have to say would not be my own thoughts and my own ideas, but would be your thoughts, your ideas, and your understanding. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1. It's a matter of life and death. Have you ever heard that statement before? Maybe you've heard it in the movies, as some criminal comes and basically says something to someone. It's about life or death. Or maybe some product that you've bought. If you don't buy it, you're going to die. If you don't get a certain inoculation, you're going to die. It's a matter of life or death. But I wonder, friends, how often we have thought about that term in connection with eternity. Do we ever think of eternity as something as a matter of life or death? Have we ever thought about the fact that when our lives come to an end, what's going to happen? Are we preparing for the life after death? Friends, that's what the book of Proverbs is largely about. I've entitled our series that we're going to be looking at, you'll see there, Wisdom, a Matter of Life or Death. Because as we read Proverbs, as we come to understand what Proverbs is about, we realize that wisdom is the means to life, eternal life. And so if we throw wisdom out, we are basically throwing out life as well. Now I'm going to spend, as I mentioned, the next number of weeks looking through Proverbs. We're not going to cover the whole book, but I want to have a look at the early chapters of Proverbs. Now, maybe you've read bits of Proverbs. Maybe you've got little cards stuck on your fridges or little bookmarks in your Bibles or books with various verses of Proverbs on it. Maybe you've read through Proverbs picking up various themes that come through, themes of money or children or wives or Christian life or whatever it might be. But how familiar are we with this book? What is this book all about? And so this morning, really by means of introduction, we're going to look at the first seven verses. And what do these seven verses have to tell us about wisdom, about fearing the Lord? Now just before we get started, really, just a quick note here. You'll notice that verse 1 starts off with the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, many of us would know who Solomon is. He was David's son. And remember that he was approached by God, or he prayed to God, that God would give him wisdom. God gave him the choices of a number of things, a huge amount of wealth, or a great vast kingdom, or wisdom. And Solomon chose wisdom. And so Solomon is credited as having written this entire book, although there are references to other wise writers, but Solomon is given the credit to it. And Solomon goes on to explain in this book that wisdom is better than folly. So I want to have a look at three questions this morning: the why, the what, and the how of Proverbs. Why, firstly, should we read Proverbs? And as Solomon begins this amazing book, he gives us a whole lot of reasons why we should read this book. And I want us to have a look at verse 2. As we start off this thing, we read that the Proverbs are good for a lot of things. Look at verse 2. He starts off here, they are good for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. And then he goes on in verse 6, for understanding proverbs and parables. Now, he uses the word for there a number of times. Twice in verse, he uses it twice in verse 2, uses it in verse 3, uses it twice in verse 4, uses it in verse 6. And the idea there is that the proverbs are not just random statements of wisdom that have got no meaning at all. He says here that the proverbs are good for a whole lot of reasons. The idea there of four is to internalize it. Not just knowing about them, but acting on them. When we internalize something, generally that affects the way that we live. And so Solomon is saying that these proverbs that we are about to start reading are something that we need to know and something that we are to act upon. Solomon says that these proverbs are good for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring disciplined and prudent lives, for giving prudence, for knowledge, for discretion, verse 6, for understanding proverbs and parables. Six different things that he says these proverbs are good for. I think those six ideas that he mentions here can be summarized into two simple categories: wisdom and discipline. When we have a look at them, we see here the idea of wisdom, which is very closely related to understanding, to knowledge, to discretion. We would say that the wise man has a lot of knowledge. We would say that the wise man has a lot of understanding. And we would say that the wise man has discretion. And so in many ways, the Proverbs are good for gaining wisdom. And it's through wisdom, Solomon says, that these Proverbs help us with discernment and with knowledge of how this world works. But if you like, the second summary of why these proverbs are useful and why we should read proverbs is because they help us with a disciplined life. Solomon says in this section that the proverbs help us to live a disciplined life. In other words, a life that follows a particular way. But also that the Proverbs are good for disciplining us. Or, in other words, showing us where we have stepped out of the commands of God. And so they discipline us, not so much with brute force, but verse 3, so that we might live our lives as sensible, careful, discreet, and doing what is right, just, and fair. In other words, we should read the Proverbs to help us gain wisdom and discipline for this life. We live in a society that is all about gaining knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the better you are thought to be. And people are constantly looking for wisdom. You might have seen the little memes that go around on social media that it seems like common sense is something that many people don't have today. Proverbs is good for helping us to gain wisdom, which in turn helps us to understand life, gives us common sense, gives us discretion. And so, why should we read Proverbs? Well, because it gives us wisdom and discipline. But there's a lot of debate about who the Proverbs are written for. And this is my second comment. Who should read Proverbs? Right through the whole book of Proverbs, we are encountered little phrases. And if you just cast your eye down to verse 8... Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. So immediately, the bulk of us switch off. Well, I'm not under my father's roof anymore. I don't have to listen to my father's instruction. I'm not his son. Perhaps you're a daughter and you're saying, well, this doesn't apply to me. It's speaking of sons and fathers. I'm a mother, you might say. So I don't need to read Proverbs. But I want to have a look here at what we actually are encountered in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 1 about who should read Proverbs. Now, obviously, I'm assuming that we will read Proverbs if for no other reason than it is in the Bible. We know that the books of the Bible are written by God through human authors. So therefore, we should read Proverbs. But let's have a look and see what Solomon says who should read the Proverbs. Look at verse 4 with me. Solomon says that the Proverbs are good for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So there's two categories of people there. Now I do need to mention here that the word simple is not the word that we might use today to describe someone who's mentally retarded. That is not what Solomon is meaning when he speaks here of the word simple. What he's really meaning is those who are inexperienced, those who are gullible, those who are swayed by all the teachings that we are bombarded with today. I recall on more than one occasion, people come into me and asking for advice. They've just watched some show on the Bible Network, on DSTV, or they've read some article in a particular Christian magazine, and they're saying, but Dion, you've been saying this, and they are now saying that. What should I believe? And so I have to answer them and say, well, what does the Bible say? And so we go into the Bible and we look at specific passages that speak about what the preacher on TBN said or what the writer of the article had to say. And we compare with what they are saying with what the Bible says. And we see who is speaking the truth. For we know that the Bible always speaks the truth. And so often, they've been confused by some bad teaching, but the Bible brings them back on track. And the writer of Proverbs says those are the people who we describe as simple. Those people who are swayed by the teachings of false teachers, who are confused by the many different ideas that we have in our society today. So the simple there is a reference to those who perhaps don't know their Bibles that well. It's a reference to those who get swayed by every and all teachings. It's a reference to those who perhaps just become Christians. But notice also, he uses the term here for the young. Now, the idea of the young here is not just for little children. So we do like to teach our children about the Bible. And so, yes, Proverbs is good for that. But in Jewish circles, and especially in the time of Solomon, the young were considered anybody up to the age of 30. No man was allowed to become a priest in the synagogue until he had turned 30. And so the reference here to young people is not just children or teenagers, but to anybody who's what we would consider today as a young adult, up to the age of about 30. So the Proverbs are good for those who are new to the Christian faith or who don't understand everything about the Christian faith. They're also good for the young. But perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you say, yeah, well, Dion, that's all well and good. I'm a strong Christian. I've been a Christian for many years. And, well, I'm well over the age of 30. So I don't need to read Proverbs. Well, look what verse 5 has to say to us then. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So yes, we might not be included amongst those two categories of the simple and the young. We might see ourselves as mature Christians, as wise people. Well, notice here that we are to add to our learning. We are to turn to the Proverbs for guidance. Let the discerning turn to them for guidance. Now, perhaps just a comment to mention here, that when Solomon speaks of let the wise listen and add to their learning, he's talking to an older group of people, perhaps similar to what we have here this morning. And he's saying to you, yes, you might know these things of the Bible, but don't stop learning. People say that you will get old a lot quicker if you stop learning. And friends, although they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, I don't believe that statement applies to a Christian at all. I don't believe as a Christian, no matter how long we have been a Christian, we stop learning what the Bible has to teach us. And that's what Solomon is saying here. Let the wise, let those who are learned, let those who know the Scriptures add to their learning. In other words, continue to learn. And I suppose the implications here is that we don't stop learning. We might be closing in on 90. We don't stop learning. You might be nearing retirement or having just retired. We don't stop learning. You might be coming to the end of your tertiary education. You might be coming to the end of a course that you're doing. But as Christians, we don't stop learning. So Solomon says, really, who are the Proverbs for? For those who don't understand Christianity completely, the simple. For the young, for those of us who are wise, and for those of us who need discernment. In other words, what Solomon is saying is that the Proverbs are good for all of us, even when it speaks of, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. So we've had a look at the two comments. Why should we read Proverbs? Who should read Proverbs? But thirdly, how then should we read Proverbs? And again, the writer has a lot to say in these opening verses here, which we'll get into next week as we continue to look at chapter 1. There are 3 points to remember while we read Proverbs together. 3 points that always need to be on our mind as we read them. It's not that we take hold of these points and then throw them out when we get to chapter 2. We take these 3 points and we apply them in every verse, every chapter that we read in Proverbs. The first point that we need to apply, and I think this is probably the most important of the points, this is found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, we cannot understand the Proverbs that are written here unless we begin with the fear of the Lord. Now, let me just chat briefly about the fear of the Lord, because there is some confusion about it. Especially in our modern language where we use the word fear as being scared and afraid. In its most simple form, The idea of fear here simply means reverent obedience to God. So we fear the Lord. The term is we reverently obey God. There's a sense of awe. There's a sense of obedience. Yes, there's an element of actual fear as well as we realize who God is and what He has done for us. But the fear of the Lord, living in reverence, obedience to God, is the essential ingredient in all wisdom. I've been watching a great little show on TV. It's called One Strange Rock. And it's really a documentary about Earth and about the amazing things that take place on Earth. How oxygen is there and how oxygen just continues to be generated. How water came to be on the Earth. And they claim to be really wise in their whole statement of things. But they're forgetting the most important thing. They're forgetting God. Of course, it's all based on the world evolved and we turn from mud into this and so on. They are forgetting that this all took place because God created it. They're forgetting the fear of the Lord. And so, as letters are to words, as numbers are to maths, so is fear to the wisdom of God. You cannot write a word without using letters. You cannot do maths without using numbers and probably a few letters as well. And likewise, you cannot gain wisdom without the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is accepting who we are in Christ, accepting that we are sinners, accepting that we have stepped outside of God's commands, admitting our own sinfulness to God, trusting that what Jesus did for us on the cross has offered us and has given us salvation. That is the way, friends, that we fear God. That is the way that we begin to gain knowledge and wisdom. On the other hand, if we think we have arrived and we leave fear behind us, it's like trying to write a book without using letters. It's ludicrous, it wouldn't make sense, and none of it would be understandable. So, as we read Proverbs, we are to read it knowing who God is. Secondly, we are to read Proverbs seeking out, investigating, and studying what it has to say. Look at verse 2. We are to attain. Verse 3. We are to acquire. Verse 5. We are to listen. In other words, all of those imply us doing something. You don't attain something just by standing there and hoping it'll arrive. You attain something by doing something. You listen not just by sitting there and wandering off in your mind and daydreaming. You listen by being focused. Another way of putting that is we are to study. We are to investigate. We are to seek out what God is saying to us. Internet is amazing, isn't it? We can find anything on there. And we can seek out any amount of information that we like. 10 years ago, you could get by with a very slow, a 56 kilobit a second telephone line. You remember the old dial-ups? When you had to go onto the internet and then people said, I've been trying to get hold of you for the last hour and you couldn't get through because you were on the internet. Nowadays, 1 gigabit of internet memory hardly lasts us a few days because we are constantly seeking information. Helen's been trying to build a big family tree. And I constantly look across at the computer and there she's got some birth records up from somewhere or other, or some other ancestral information about something. Yes, the internet is massively useful. And without it, she wouldn't be able to populate the family tree to the same extent. But we need to be teachable and listen to what God's word had to say. Do we spend the same effort and energy as we might do for example, setting up a family tree, as we would for investigating God's word? Are we attaining and acquiring what God's word is saying to us? Are we searching in the scriptures what the Bible has to say? So friends, I'm not just talking about a cursory reading of the Bible. Let me just do the quick reading. Okay, blah, 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 right. Amen, Lord, thanks. Have a good day. And off we go. I'm talking about detailed study, looking at commentaries, reading Christian books, deliberate study in God's word. And of course, listening implies that we are actually sitting under the teaching of God. Coming to church, not periodically, not when it suits us, not when I've got nothing better to do, but coming to sit under the teaching of God's word regularly and as often as we can. Trouble is, however, that we come to the Bible with our own set of ideas and we try to make the Bible fit those ideas, don't we? I like this, I like that. God will give to everybody who prays to Him what they ask for. And so we come with an idea and then we find verses and we might leave out part of a verse to make that thinking stand. Often we're not interested in connecting our thoughts and our ideas with the truths of the Bible. We are to attain, to acquire, to listen what the Bible has to say, and here, in this case, what Proverbs has to tell us. So we need the fear of God. We need to understand who God is, firstly, as we come to Proverbs. Secondly, we need to investigate and grapple with what the Bible has to say. And the third point that we need to apply as we read these Proverbs, and we see this in verse 4, is that the Proverbs are good for giving prudence to the simple, for giving knowledge and discretion to the young. And then, verse 5, let the wise listen. You see, the idea, the words giving and listen can be taken both ways. I can get from somebody, but I can also give. I can listen to you, but you can also listen to what the Bible has to say. And so the idea here is that the book of Proverbs, in fact the Bible, is good for giving wisdom. In other words, for teaching it. For telling people about the fear of the Lord. Paul tells us in his epistles that we are to give the answer of our hope to all people who ask for it. The Proverbs and the rest of the Bible gives us this hope. Who are we teaching as we sit and read the Proverbs? Are we helping those who struggle with the teachings of the world? Are we teaching the young? Are we investing in them? Are we making other people listen to what we have to say? Who are we pointing to the Lord Jesus? As we draw to a close this morning, I want us to notice verse 7 here. I've touched on it, but I want us to have a look at it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
But notice the second part of that sentence. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Friends, if we're not willing to learn what the Bible has to say, if we're not willing to add to our learning, if we are not seeking out the fear of the Lord, then in terms of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, we are fools. It doesn't matter how much knowledge we have. It doesn't matter how much we know about the Bible. If we do not fear the Lord, we are fools. Fools who despise discipline. Who are always pointing fingers at other people. Sorry, it's not my fault. It's how I was raised. Sorry, they made me do it. We're always pointing fingers. We are fools because we despise the discipline of the Bible. How many of us get angry when someone confronts us about something that we've done wrong? Maybe guys, it's worse with us, isn't it? When someone comes up to us and says, "Dion, I do not like what you've done." The immediate response is defensive. We stand back. We do not like to be corrected. And the Bible is saying if we will not listen to the direction of the Bible, if we will not take its discipline and its wisdom that it offers, we are fools. So really the simple question that we need to answer as we begin our journey in the book of Proverbs is, are we fearing God or are we despising God? Are we taking note of what God has to say? Are we seeking Him and His knowledge and His wisdom, or are we despising it and only taking that which we want? I can't answer that question for you, friends. You personally need to answer that question. Am I willing to submit to the ways of God, to learn it? So as we read this book together, friends, let's remember what God has done for us. Let's remember how or why we should read the Proverbs, because they teach us about wisdom. Let's remember who should read the Proverbs. Whether we are young or old, whether we are confused or whether we are mature. And let's remember how we should read these Proverbs. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help as we continue our journey through Proverbs. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this amazing book of Proverbs. We thank you, Lord, for the three instructions that you've given us this morning, Lord, on how we should read Proverbs, on who should read Proverbs, and on why we should read it. But Lord, help us to fear you, to seek out your knowledge, to sit under your teaching, to learn. And Lord, help us and forgive us for the times that we are foolish, that we despise the wisdom the Bible gives us, that we despise the discipline that it speaks. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to live for you. Amen.